Our next speaker is Xingxu Lin, and correct me if I pronounce that incorrectly, and he's going to be speaking to us about integrated use of chamber methods and open path methods to determine N2O emissions from agricultural soils.
Thanks for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming. My name is Zhenxuan Lin, and I am the PhD candidate in Purdue Agronomy. So my research is to integrate the chamber and the open path method to determine the N2O emissions from agricultural soils. So I believe that most of the people in this room know that agriculture contributes significant greenhouse gas emissions from soil. So where are they exactly from? So when we apply the nitrogen fertilizer, the part of nitrogen can be lost by leaching, and some of the nitrogen will become the N2O and emit into the air. So based on different nitrogen measurements, it will cause different amounts of N2O emission. And the CO2, the emission are the main leader from the soil respiration, and also that depend on different field measurements, such as the till versus no tilled. It also causes a different amount of the CO2 emission. And for the methane emissions are mainly from the rice production and also enteric fermentation. So this gas is not only the continuous emit from soil, but based on different soil properties, different agronomic practices, and the changing meteorological factors, their emissions are also the dynamic and episodic. So the most common method that we use to measure the gas from the soil, we use the chamber measurement. Chamber measurement is good, it's easy to use, and it's also they do a decent job if you want to compare different treatment at a specific timing. However, there are some limitations of a chamber measurement, such as the size of the chamber is too small to represent the entire field, and also that we can't collect the gas sample very frequently by the chamber measurement. So you know, because the gas emissions are continuous, so it's difficult to capture the overall the N2O emission from a long-term period. So the I believe part of the job is to optimize the practice to mitigate greenhouse gas emissions. So the how to the capture loss even will become important. So we need a new method. So in this study, besides the chamber method, we also use the open path method. The open path method has two parts. The first part, we use the open path SDR spectrometer to determine the gas concentration in the air. The second part, we use a micrometeorological model to determine the gas emission based on the concentration determined by the SDIR. So here is the configuration of the open path SDIR. So basically, the infrared radiation from spectrometer can travel through the air, and the distance between the retroreflector and the spectrometer is around 150 meters. Then we can collect the field spectrum like this. This spectrum has the information of the gas of interest, which is the N2O here. Then we compare the field spectrum with the reference spectrum, and we can calculate the N2O concentration. This is the first part. So the second part, the model we use is the backward Lagrangian stochastic model, okay, so shortened as the BLS model. So we use this model to estimate the gas emission. So here you can see that we can use the SDIR to measure the concentration from upwind and the downwind. Then we can know the differences of the concentration between the upwind and the downwind. And based on different wind information, this model can help us to calculate, to estimate the gas emission. So the usually if you have a clean background, usually you can get a higher concentration at a downwind. So that's the reason why we can get a positive emission. What if we have the hotspot next to your field? You might collect a higher concentration at upwind, and you will calculate a negative emission. The negative emission, we consider the interferences from the other field. And I will talk this more later. So this slide shows the chart one is the open path method, because this method is open path, so which means it faces the different kinds of interferences from ambient vectors. So this interference needs to be dealt with. Otherwise, the data we collect from a field might become meaningless. For example, water vapor, temperature, wind speed, and the path length. These are the potential error source for STIR to calculate to detect the entropy concentration. I had a poster presentation describing the details yesterday, and if you are interested, we can discuss this discussion later. And also the in BLS model, there are the few the factors also the contribute the uncertainty in BLS model. And the first three factors have been published. So today I only focus on the interferences between field to field. So here is the field configuration and the management we have in 2015. So the field we have is continuous cone, and we had four treatments based on different tillage system and different nitrogen management. We applied anhydrous ammonia as a fertilizer, and the nitrogen rate is 200 kilograms per hectare for each treatment. But we used a different application. For example, treatment one, we applied 200 kilograms per hectare in the fall of the 2015, which is the previous fall, and we applied nothing in spring, and we split the application for treatment two, which means 104 and 100 in spring, and the same with treatment three. And treatment four, that we applied nothing in the fall, but we applied 200 in spring. Then for each treatment, we had three chambers to the to calculate gas emission. And also that we got scanning the open path FTIR in the center field. Then we have the seven paths. So the scanning open path FTIR can scan the entire field. For example, when we can use the FTIR to collect the spectrum from the path one, and then it will change to path two and path three until path seven. So the entire cycle is 30 minutes. So we can estimate, we can calculate the gas emission every 30 minutes. Then after 30 minutes, the scanning open path FTIR can go back from 7 to 1 and restart the other cycle. Oh, by the way, the size of this field, the length is probably the 500 meters and the width is probably the 200 meters. And we also have the nitrogen entropy sensor to the measure the background, entropy background. So this slide shows the precision. This slide shows the precision of the entropy concentration determined by the open path FTIR. So one of our assumptions is we assume the ambient condition were constant within the 30 minutes. So that in every 30 minutes, the entropy concentration we calculate, the precision is plus minus 1.4%. Okay, this is important because we calculate the concentration from different paths. If their differences are the less than the 10 parts per million, open path FTIR won't be able to tell the differences. So this slide shows the uncertainty of the gas emission in BLS model, and because of the interferences between the field. So here we use the polar coordinate to describe how the wind direction will affect the uncertainty. So 0 degree here you see means the wind came from the north, and the 90 degree means the wind came from the east. Okay, so you see a bunch of data here, which means that the data were collected when wind came from north, northeast, and north, and east. So the length of this bar means the standard deviation of the gas emission. So the longer bar means the higher uncertainty. So here you can see when wind came from the northeast, treatment one could be the interfered by shipment 2, 3, and 4, and cause the higher the uncertainty. The same with treatment 2, if the wind came from the northwest, it also caused a higher uncertainty here. Same with treatment 3 and 4. And also wind speed. Because the chisel plow or treatment 3 caused a high emission than the treatment 2. So the higher the wind speed, you can see the more negative data for treatment 2. This is the carryover issue from treatment 3. So that's the reason why we get a negative emission. So this is the actual emission determined by two methods in the 2016. And in 2016, we applied the fertilizer on the June the 6th, and we continuously measure actual emission for 3 weeks. So let's take a look at the chamber measurement first. Here you can see two spikes, 1 and 2. The first spike is because of the nitrogen application. So when we apply the fresh nitrogen in the soil, microbes will be happy and start using this nitrogen. So that's the reason why we can produce more N2O. And the second spike you can see that here is because of denitrification after a rainstorm. This is the precipitation here. Okay, so then you can see the open path method can generate more the data points every 30 minutes. And they basically follow the same trend. So the emission increase and drop again, and increase and drop again. The same with treatment 2 and 3. So if you look at it carefully, you can tell the scale is very different. The actual emission determined by open path method is probably 10 times, approximately 10 times higher than the chamber measurement, so it's 10 to 1. And we are still not sure what is the main factor to the drive this this difference, but we think the turbulence, the wind, or the stability of the air could be contribute a lot. Okay, so the dead zone here means the sensitivity of the open path method. The range of the dead zone is plus minus 1.1 microgram per square meter per second. So which means if your emission is less than 1.4 microgram per square per meter, open path API won't be able to tell the difference. Open path method, sorry. And the extreme negative data here is because of the carryover issue I just mentioned. So that when we calculate the daily average, we need to rule out this extreme negative data. So this slide shows the cumulative actual emission in 2016. So the red crosses here are the date we sample, and we use this data point to interpolate the cumulative actual emission for 19 days. Okay, so here you can see, let's compare the treatment 1 and 4 first. You can see the treatment 1 has a lower actual emission compared to treatment 4 because we applied nitrogen in the previous fall, so we assume that over the winter some nitrogen can be lost by leaching. And the treatment 2 and 3, you can see that over the 19 days, chisel plow potentially caused a higher actual emissions. And the open path method, you can see a lot of negative data for the T2. This is the carryover issue, and in this year, we got a lot of winds and it came from north and the northwest. So we got a better data in the 2015. And also the chisel plow potentially the increase potentially lead to the more the actual emission compared to the no-till. So this period is over 34 days, okay? And for chamber measurement, for chamber measurements, after we apply the fertilizer around 1% nitrogen, around 1% the nitrogen can be lost in a month. But you can see it's very different for open path method. It's probably 20% the nitrogen can be lost. So my conclusion is open path method faces different interferences that they need to be dealt with. And for implication, a lot of places potential lead to a lot of the methane emission. So open pet method could be a good method to the measure methane emission from like a paddy field. For future work, we're still figuring out why the open pet method can cause the higher the emission. So we want to fill the gap of the nitrogen loss even. Thank you very much. I want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's no time left for questions. You'll have to catch him afterwards.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
That's okay.